All right, so you're here with us on the deep dive because the idea of having your own Amazon business, well, that's probably crossed your mind at least once or twice. I mean, come on, the reach that platform has, it's undeniable. But you also know it's not exactly a piece of cake to crack, right?
Oh, it can feel a bit like wandering through a maze sometimes, you know? You think you've got a handle on things and bam, a new challenge pops up.
Exactly. And the interesting thing is that so many new sellers, they hit the same kind of roadblocks early on. It's not a lack of passion or hard work.
No, it really seems to be more about overlooking some fundamental steps in that crucial preparation phase.
And that's why we're diving deep today. We're taking a good look at 10 common Amazon seller mistakes and how to avoid them, written by Shahid R. Khan and reviewed by Andrew L. Adler and Jonathan M. Adler.
Think of it as your cheat sheet, you know, extracting that wisdom to help you navigate that maze a little bit smoother.
Exactly. Our goal here is to equip you with the knowledge you need to sidestep those common mistakes so you can increase your chances of building a successful and, importantly, sustainable Amazon business.
A business that lasts.
Exactly. So tell me, where do most new sellers trip up right out of the gate?
Well, it seems like it's even before they list that very first product. It's skipping market research.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so elaborate on that for me. What's the big deal about market research?
It's so fascinating, you know, because it's human nature to want to jump right to the solution, that product idea, without really understanding the problem that it's solving for people out there in the marketplace.
Right.
So this guide, it stresses that diving in without doing that thorough research, that's what frequently leads to products being launched in areas that are super competitive, areas where it's just really, really difficult to stand out and ultimately to achieve those healthy profit margins.
I see. So you could have like the most brilliant idea for a new dog leash or something.
Exactly.
If Amazon's already swimming in similar products from sellers who've been around forever, you know, with tons of five-star reviews.
It's going to be an uphill battle all the way.
It's going to be rough.
Yeah. So this guide really emphasizes the importance of putting on your detective hat before you even think about finding a supplier.
I love that. Putting on your detective hat.
Right. So you need to understand, what are people searching for? What's that demand? And then identify those little pockets of opportunity, those less crowded corners of the market.
I like that. So what tools or strategies does the guide suggest for that? Like, how do we actually do this detective work?
Okay, so for you, the listener, as you're pondering that next winning product, take a look at platforms like Jungle Scout, Helium 10, AMZ Scout. Think of these as your market intelligence buddies.
Okay.
They help you analyze the demand for specific types of products, see how many competitors you're up against, and even estimate your potential profitability. You know, we're talking about making decisions based on data, not just going with your gut feeling.
Absolutely. It's got to be data-driven. Now, what really intrigues me here is that it's not just about finding something that sells a lot. It's about finding that sweet spot where there's demand, for sure, but maybe less cutthroat competition. So you can carve out a piece of that pie and make a decent profit.
Totally. And the guide also points out a really simple strategy, which is digging into Amazon's bestseller lists, you know, within categories that pique your interest.
Okay.
So look at what those top-selling products are doing right. What are they nailing? And maybe even more importantly, what are the reviews saying? The good, the bad, the ugly, the whole deal.
Right.
Because those negative reviews, those can be pure gold.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They can highlight those unmet needs, you know, the frustrations people have with the existing options. Those are your golden nuggets.
Ooh, those are the gaps. You can fill those gaps.
You got it. And, you know, if we zoom out for a second and think about the bigger picture of what makes a successful entrepreneur, it's often about spotting those problems and swooping in with a better solution. Right. By dissecting those customer reviews, you're gaining those precious insights into where existing products fall short. And then you have the chance to develop a product that tackles those weaknesses head on.
I see. You can improve on them.
Exactly.
And the guide actually gives a real-world example, which I think really brings this point home. There was a seller. They were all set on garlic presses. Seems like a simple, everyday kitchen gadget, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But after they did their research, they discovered it was a super crowded market.
Ooh.
So they did a pivot and went with silicone baking tools, a little sub-niche within kitchenware.
Yeah.
Not as saturated, good, steady demand. What happened? Consistent sales growth. That's what happened.
That's awesome.
So lesson number one for our listeners, do your homework first. Then choose your product. You've got a promising product. what's the next potential pitfall?
Well, mistake number two is all about poor listing optimization. And this is where even sellers with amazing products can really stumble.
Right, because you could have an amazing product, but if people can't find it.
It's like having this fantastic product, but it's hidden away in the back of a messy store. People might wander in, but they'll never find what they're looking for.
Right.
So the guide makes it clear that weak listings lead to less visibility in Amazon search results, which means fewer eyes on your product, period.
Makes sense. Less traffic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then that leads to lower buyer interest. You know, people might click on your listing, but then they bounce. They don't actually buy anything. And in the long run, all of this hurts your product's search ranking.
Right. It's all connected. And I imagine Amazon's algorithm is always watching, always evaluating listings to decide which ones to show to potential buyers.
Oh, absolutely. It's constantly working. So if your listing isn't clear, if it's not compelling and doesn't have those keywords, those magic terms people are actually typing in, you're going to get buried in the result.
Lost in the sea of listings.
Yep. But on a positive note, the opposite is also true. A well-optimized listing, it's like a beacon. It pulls those potential customers in, and that directly translates to more sales.
Absolutely. It's got to be optimized. So how do we optimize? Walk me through the steps.
Okay, so the guide gets super specific about optimization, and it's more than just jamming a bunch of keywords into your description. Think of it like this. You're crafting a mini sales page for your product. And for you, the listener, remember this, the title, that's your headline. It's got to be descriptive, concise, and packed with those keywords. You've got about 200 characters to play with, so make every single one count.
I see. So it's like writing a really good headline for an article.
Exactly. Now, next up, you've got your bullet points.
Yeah.
And these are not just a boring list of features. They've got to clearly spell out the benefits of your product to whoever's reading. What problem does it solve? How will it make their life easier or better? You're answering that question in the buyer's mind. What's in it for me?
What's in it for me? Yeah, that's crucial.
Absolutely. And then we can't forget about the visuals. The guide really hammers home the importance of high-quality images. And I'm not talking about a single shot of your product against a white background. We need more than that. We need lifestyle shots that, you know, showing your product in action in real life. This helps potential buyers actually picture themselves using it, owning it. Mm-hmm. Then you've got infographics. They can visually break down those key features and benefits. Super easy to digest. And you can even use short videos, you know, demonstrating those features and benefits. This can really boost engagement and your conversion rates.
Okay, so images, even videos, don't skip those. What about A-plus content? The guide mentions that.
Oh, A-plus content is like the secret weapon. You can really elevate that product page, make it visually stunning and packed with information. You can add more detailed descriptions using rich text and images, enhanced brand content, even comparison charts. It's like having this platform to tell your brand story and really showcase the value you bring.
Oh, wow. So it's like taking it to the next level.
It totally is.
So you're saying don't overlook A-plus content.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, the case study in the guide, it's a real eye-opener. They had a simple bamboo cutting board, right? And the conversion rate was super low. Less than one out of every 100 people who looked at it actually bought it. But they revamped the listing. They optimized the title, used way better images, and really zeroed in on those bullet points, highlighting those benefits for the customer. What happened? The conversion rate skyrocketed. More than four times higher. That's the power of optimization.
That's incredible. That is a big jump.
Yeah.
So make those listings shine, right?
Yeah.
That's the takeaway there. Now, let's shift gears a bit and talk about a mistake that can have serious repercussions for your entire selling journey on Amazon. Ignoring Amazon's policies.
Oh, this is not the area to mess around in. The guide stresses how critical it is to be in compliance with Amazon's rules. We're not talking about a little slap on the wrist here. Even unintentional violations can lead to your listings being taken down, your account suspended, and in the worst case scenario, you can get permanently banned from selling on the platform. That could be devastating.
It's like playing any game. You might not like every single rule, but you absolutely have to understand them and play by them.
You got it.
Otherwise, you're out of the game.
Right. So the guide provides some really solid best practices to help us all navigate this ever-changing rule book of Amazon's.
Okay, tell me more about that. What can we do?
So the key here is to be proactive and stay informed. The guide advises that you should make it a habit to regularly check those Amazon Seller Central policies. And remember, those policies, they're not set in stone. They evolve and change, so make it a routine to check for those updates.
Regularly.
Yes. Another smart move is to be active in seller forums, you know, online communities. There are seasoned sellers out there who share their insights, their interpretations of those policy changes. It's like having a support group to make sure you're on the right track.
That's a great idea. A community.
It really helps. And listen to this. The guide specifically calls out incentivized reviews. That means absolutely no offering any kind of reward, like discounts, freebies, or even cash in exchange for positive reviews. Amazon is very strict about this.
Right.
And they have really sophisticated methods to catch anyone doing this. Similarly, your product descriptions, they have to be accurate. No misleading information whatsoever. Transparency and honesty are non-negotiable if you want to build trust with those customers and stay in Amazon's good graces.
No funny business.
Nope. And the example they share in the guide is a cautionary tale. There was a seller, a health supplement company, probably with the best intentions. They just wanted customer feedback. So they included these little review request cards in their product packaging. Seems harmless, right?
Right. Yeah.
But it got flagged as a violation. They got hit with a 2-week account suspension. It cost them sales. You know, after that, they switched to Amazon's approved request a review system. It highlights how crucial it is to play by the rules.
It's a tough lesson, but it's one that can save you a lot of hassle and lost revenue down the road.
For sure.
Okay, so now let's tackle a mistake that can quietly eat away at your profits without you even realizing it.
Poor inventory management.
Inventory management. It's a balancing act.
Yeah.
The guide accurately describes those two traps that sellers can fall into. On one hand, you have stockouts. You run out of popular products.
Yeah.
And that means you're losing out on sales, potential revenue walking right out the door.
Right.
And it can even hurt your search ranking. Amazon's algorithm favors listings that have consistent product availability.
Makes sense.
On the other hand, holding on to too much inventory overstocking can rack up those storage fees, especially if you're using FBA.
Right.
And it ties up money that you could be investing elsewhere in your business.
So you're either missing out on sales or paying to store stuff that's not moving.
That's it. And neither one of those is good for your bottom line.
Not good for your bottom line.
Yeah. So the guide lays out some practical tips to help you get a grip on your inventory management. All right, let's hear them. I'm sure our listeners are eager to learn how to avoid those pitfalls.
Okay, so for you, the listener, as you think about fine-tuning those stock levels, think about using inventory management software. You know, tools like Inventory Lab or Sellbrite. They give you a real-time view of your stock levels. They track how fast your products are selling.
That's helpful.
And they even help you forecast future demand based on those past trends.
Oh, wow. So you're not just guessing.
No, you've got data. And you can set up automatic reorder alerts in these systems. That way, you're never caught off guard running out of your best sellers.
Okay. And what about FBA?
Right. If you're using FBA, don't forget about Amazon's built-in inventory management tools. They've got features to help you keep an eye on your inventory in their warehouses. You can predict when you might need to restock based on your sales history and even estimate those storage fees ahead of time.
That's super useful.
Right. Now, there's this example in the guide that really drives the point home. A seller, they were selling holiday decorations, you know, a business with very predictable spikes in demand. And they totally misjudged their inventory. Ran out of stock weeks before Christmas.
Oh, no.
Their peak selling season. They estimated that they missed out on $12,000 in potential sales. That's the real cost of poor forecasting. But the following year, they learned their lesson. They implemented those inventory forecasting techniques. You know what? They achieved a 98% stock availability rate. That's the power of being proactive with your inventory management.
That's a huge turnaround. Mm-hmm. So lesson learned, pay attention to inventory management.
Big is essential.
Now, mistake number 5. This one hits at your reputation and your ability to build a loyal following. Neglecting customer service.
In today's world, especially on a platform like Amazon, where those customer reviews are so public and so influential, providing stellar customer service is non-negotiable. It's a must-have. The guide points out that dropping the ball on customer service damages your reputation. It leads to those dreaded negative reviews, those lower satisfaction ratings. And this doesn't just hurt your brand's image, it can actually negatively affect your account health metrics on Amazon, which can impact your ability to sell at all.
Wow, so it has a ripple effect.
It really does. You know, if you get hit with a bunch of negative feedback, Amazon will start sending you warnings. And if your performance metrics keep falling short of their standards, you could be facing account suspension. That's serious stuff.
That is serious stuff.
Yeah. And the guide provides some key customer service practices that every seller should adopt.
Okay, I'm all ears. What do we need to do?
Okay, so first and foremost, responsiveness is king. The guide emphasizes that you've got to commit to responding to those customer inquiries within 24 hours. Even if you don't have a solution right away, acknowledging that you've heard them can go a long way in easing that frustration.
It shows you care.
Exactly. Now, when you get those negative reviews, you have to tackle them professionally and constructively. Don't get defensive. Instead, acknowledge that feedback, apologize if you need to, and clearly explain the steps you're taking to fix the issue. This shows other potential buyers that you value your customers, that you're all about making things right.
And that builds trust.
Totally. The guide also suggests that you consider using customer service software. As your business grows and you're dealing with more and more orders, managing those inquiries effectively can get tricky. These tools can help you keep track of communication, stay organized, and make sure that every customer's request gets the attention it deserves.
That makes a lot of sense. I can see how that would be really helpful. And the guide shares a really good example about an electronic seller who had a customer with a faulty charging cable.
Oh, yeah, and they went above and beyond. They didn't just replace the faulty cable. They actually used that feedback to identify a potential design flaw in their product. They turned a negative into a positive. That's proactive customer service in action. And it likely fostered some serious loyalty with that customer. That's the kind of approach that builds a lasting business.
Absolutely. So customer service, don't skimp on it. Okay. Make it a priority. Now, let's move on to something that's closely tied to customer satisfaction and a major driver of sales, product reviews.
Ah, product reviews. This is social proof at its finest. The guide really highlights how much these reviews matter on Amazon. They impact search rankings big time. Products with those positive reviews, they tend to rank higher.
Makes sense. People are looking for that social proof.
Exactly. It builds trust with potential buyers. When they see that others have had a good experience, they feel more confident about clicking that buy button. And all of this leads to those sweet, sweet conversions. More reviews often equals more sales.
So it's a bit of a snowball effect. The more good reviews you get,
the better you do. And even the most amazing product can have a tough time gaining momentum if it doesn't have those reviews to back it up.
So let's talk strategy. How do we encourage customers to leave those all-important reviews, but in an ethical and Amazon-approved way?
Okay, so the guide provides some actionable tactics here. First up, you've got the Amazon Vine program. If you qualify, this is a fantastic way to get initial reviews for new products. Amazon Vine, they invite trusted reviewers to give unbiased feedback.
Okay, I've heard about that program.
It's a good one. Another easy and effective method is to use Amazon's built-in request a review feature. It automatically sends a polite little nudge to buyers a few weeks after they receive their order, reminding them to leave a review if they'd like.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But here's the most important thing. The most sustainable way to get those positive reviews is to simply offer a fantastic product and provide that excellent customer service.
Right, that's the foundation.
It really is. The guide emphasizes that focusing on those fundamentals, delivering on quality, and that positive post-purchase experience, that's what organically encourages those genuine reviews from happy customers.
Makes sense. If people love your product and the experience, they're more likely to leave a good review.
Exactly. Now, they share a case study of a new kitchen brand, and they were all about those fundamentals. They focused on top-notch product packaging because that first impression, unboxing, really matters, and they used Amazon's official channels to request reviews. Guess what? They managed to rack up over 250 positive reviews in just 6 months.
Wow.
That's serious social proof. And it definitely played a big role in their rapid sales growth. It shows that focusing on the core elements can lead to major wins in the review department.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
You got it.
All right, now let's dive into a mistake that directly impacts your profit margins. Pricing mistakes.
Pricing, oh boy, that's a tricky one. Finding that perfect price for your products on Amazon, it's a real balancing act. And the guide makes it clear, getting it wrong can seriously affect both your profitability and how much you sell overall. Price your products too low, you might attract buyers like crazy, but your profit margins could shrink so much that your business isn't sustainable in the long haul. On the other hand, if you price too high, even if it feels like you're making more per unit, you could scare off potential buyers, leading to low sales volume and a bunch of stagnant inventory.
So you're saying it's a fine line. You need to find that sweet spot.
You got it. The guide offers some clever pricing tactics to help you navigate this crucial aspect. First off, researching your competitors' pricing on similar products is an absolute must. You need to understand what the market is willing to pay.
Competitive analysis.
It's essential. And then there are repricing tools. These can be super helpful, especially in those markets where things change rapidly. These tools automatically adjust your prices based on what your competitors are doing, helping you stay competitive without constantly checking and updating your prices manually.
So it's like having an automated pricing assistant working for you around the clock.
Exactly. The guide also recommends testing different price points strategically. Maybe you run short-term tests, even A/B tests if your platform allows for it, just to see how different prices affect your sales volume and your overall profit.
It's all about collecting that data.
And that data can reveal the optimal price that maximizes both your profit margin and how much you actually sell.
Data-driven decisions. The guide gives an example about a premium water bottle seller. They started off with a relatively low price, probably aiming for those big sales numbers. But after doing more research, they realized their product was worth more. They raised the price, and their profit margins increased significantly without a big drop in sales. Sometimes, charging a premium can be the smarter long-term strategy.
It absolutely can.
Okay, so pricing. Really got to get that right. Let's move on to a mistake that can limit your growth and stop you from reaching a wider audience. Relying only on organic sales.
The Amazon marketplace has gotten increasingly competitive, and it's become what the guide calls a pay-to-play environment. Getting those organic, unpaid views through great search ranking is still important, especially if you've got established products with tons of reviews and a solid sales history. But relying solely on organic traffic, especially when you're launching new products or trying to grow, it's often not enough.
It's just not enough.
There are so many listings that it's tough to get noticed without some paid promotion.
It's like opening a store on a busy street. Just having your doors open isn't enough anymore. You need a big sign, maybe even some local ads, to pull those customers in.
You got it. And the guide recommends having a solid advertising strategy for your Amazon business.
Okay, so how do we start? What are the first steps?
For those who are new to Amazon advertising, they suggest beginning with sponsored products ads. They pop up right in the search results and on product detail pages. They're a good way to see which keywords are actually driving those clicks and those sales.
Okay.
Then, as you gather more data and get more comfortable with Amazon's ad platform, you can create those manual campaigns. They give you more control over your keyword targeting, and you can fine-tune who sees your ads based on specific search terms.
So it's about getting more targeted as you go. What about budget? How much should we be allocating to advertising?
The guide gives a general range to get you started, around 7% to 15% of your revenue. Of course, that can change depending on your niche, your competition, and your business goals, but it's a helpful starting point.
A good rule of thumb.
Yeah. They also share a case study about a home organization seller. They were only spending $20 a day on targeted ads, but it made a huge difference. Their daily sales jumped from an average of 3 units to 22 units. Not only did that bring in instant revenue, it likely helped improve their organic search ranking over time as their sales increased. It's a positive feedback loop. Strategic advertising can really boost your visibility and growth.
It's a powerful tool.
Absolutely.
Okay, now let's discuss a mistake that could lead to missed opportunities for improvement and profit maximization. Ignoring data analysis.
Data, it's everywhere these days, and the guide emphasizes that ignoring Amazon's built-in analytics is a big mistake. You're basically flying blind, making decisions based on guesses instead of insight.
You're not seeing the full picture.
Right, and you're missing out on valuable information about customer behavior, how your listings are performing, and how well your ads are doing. That data holds the key to unlocking better results.
So data analysis is essential. What specific types of data should our listeners be looking at?
Okay, so the guide points out some key metrics. First up, conversion rates. This tells you the percentage of people who view your listing and then actually buy. Low conversion rates could mean there's an issue with your listing, your images, your pricing, or even the product itself.
Right, someone's not working.
Exactly. Then you've got return rates. This is the percentage of products that customers send back. High return rates, that could be a sign of quality issues, inaccurate descriptions, or problems with sizing. And if you're running ads, you've got to track those ad performance metrics closely. Things like your click-through rate, CTR, your cost per click, CPC, and of course, how many sales your ads are actually generating.
So keep an eye on those numbers.
Absolutely. And the guide suggests that you actively A/B test key elements of your listings. You know, your titles, main images, bullet points, even your pricing. This way you can compare different versions and see what actually resonates with your target audience.
So it's all about experimentation and seeing what works best.
It is. And don't underestimate those search term reports. These can give you incredible insights into what words people are actually using to find products like yours on Amazon. Super helpful for refining your listing keywords to improve your visibility and for targeting your ads more effectively.
That's great advice. And the guide provides an example of a kitchenware seller who had low conversion rates. They did some digging into their data, analyzed what people were doing on their product pages, and realized their images and descriptions weren't doing a good job of showcasing their product's key features and benefits. So they made some data-driven improvements and saw a huge 75% boost in their conversions. That's the power of paying attention to your data.
It's amazing what you can discover when you look at the data.
So lesson learned. Analyze, analyze, analyze. Finally, let's talk about a mistake that often comes from early success, and that eagerness to grow fast, expanding too quickly.
Oh, it's tempting, right? You see those initial wins on Amazon and you want to ramp things up, launch a ton of new products, dive into new categories, maybe even go global. But the guide cautions against growing too fast without a solid foundation. It can actually hurt your business in the long run.
It can backfire.
It can. It can strain your resources. Your cash flow might not keep up with that increased inventory investment. Your inventory systems might get overloaded trying to handle all those new products. Your customer service team might struggle to keep up with the growing customer base.
So it's about growing in a sustainable way.
Exactly. So the guide recommends a more measured approach. When launching new products, they suggest aiming for one new product every 6 to 8 weeks. This gives you enough time to do your research, optimize that listing, manage that initial inventory, and track its performance before adding more to your plate.
Take it slow and steady.
Right. You also want to set up clear standard operating procedures for your core processes, things like order fulfillment, inventory management, and customer service. This keeps things consistent and efficient as you scale.
It's about having those systems in place.
Exactly. And the guide also suggests that you really focus on optimizing your existing listings and operations before you even think about expanding into new product lines or going international.
Get your house in order first.
That's it. Make sure your core business is running like a well-oiled machine before you branch out. They share a real-world example of a seller who launched a bunch of new products all at once, and they ran into a lot of those challenges we talked about. Stockouts, inventory management nightmares, and their customer service quality took a hit because they were stretched too thin. But then they hit pause, they focused on optimizing their processes and improving those existing listings, and it paid off. They ended up with consistent, substantial monthly revenue.
So slow and steady wins the race.
Absolutely.
Well, there you have it. 10 common mistakes Amazon sellers make, and more importantly, the strategies to avoid them. All drawn from this insightful guide. The key takeaway for our listeners is that success on Amazon isn't just about having a fantastic product idea. It's about strategic thinking, continuous learning and optimization, and disciplined execution across all facets of your business.
You know, this deep dive really highlights that being aware of these potential pitfalls and proactively taking steps to avoid them, well, that's the foundation for building a strong, profitable, and sustainable business on Amazon.
It's all about setting yourself up for success. So as our listeners reflect on these 10 common mistakes, we encourage them to think about this. What is one area of your current or future Amazon strategy that deserves your immediate, focused attention? What needs fine-tuning to ensure you're building a lasting, resilient business? It's a question worth pondering. As always, we encourage you to revisit the source material or explore any of these areas that really resonated with you.
It's been a pleasure diving deep with you today.
Thank you for joining us on The Deep Dive.